Welcome to the Elevation Church Weekly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Rick Pedersen. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit elevationchurchwisconsin.com.
Good morning. If you notice, we've been promoting the Wealth with God Masterclass a little bit. There's a reason. This is one of the best courses I've ever seen. The reason it's one of the best is that the outcome is, yes, changing financial freedom in you, but the real power of this is Pastor Jim goes through in detail of how to partner with God. If you learn how to partner with God through this class, you can apply it more than just finances. But he's going to do that part. It's even, if you notice, we got an email, and this was Pastor Jim sent this to me, and I'm going like, okay, are you sure? But what he's doing is he put a guarantee on this class. If you follow the instructions, he guarantees that you will see changes positively in your financial situation, or he'll give you your money back. That's pretty brave in the natural. But he doesn't deal in the natural. He's dealing in the supernatural, so he's pretty sure. He knows it's going to happen. We roll this video, and I'm going to just talk about a little bit here of how important and how easy it is to sign up for this class. So you go to our website, elevationchurchwi.com, scroll to the bottom of the homepage, and you'll see the Wealth with God logo. Just click on that, and that'll take you to a landing page. They'll give you more information about Wealth with God. Scroll to the bottom of that where it says register here. Click on that, and then that'll take you to a page where you can actually register. And what you're doing is you're signing up through his platform, so that way you're in the database to receive the training. But here's the other one. Once you go through this, you're a lifetime member, so you can go back for the rest of your life. Now, how this is going to work is every Monday for 13 weeks, you're going to receive an email, the link to that week's presentation training. You have all week to go through that. On Thursday evenings here at church, we're going to go and we're going to break down and we're going to discuss in detail that week's learnings. If you can't be here fully dressed, you have the opportunity to view it from home in your pajamas. If you can't be here or you can't view it that Thursday live, we're going to archive that so that you can then, in your pajamas on somewhere else, view it. If you notice, this is a whole about pajamas. I like doing things in my pajamas. So this is a part where we're promoting this, and it's really, it plays into what I'm going to preach about today. Let's pray. Father God, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, you are more than welcome. We know that you're here. We know the presence of you is here to open our minds, to open our ears, to open our eyes to what you have for us in this age of new covenant, to release us, but more importantly, to equip and elevate and engage us as saints. Pray this in your name. Amen. So today I'm going to speak on one of the scriptures in the Bible that most people don't understand and bring great limitations, and that's Matthew 7. So if you have your hardcover, electronic cover, or enriched in your memory, you can turn to that. What happens with this scripture and many others is, and particularly religion does this, is they tell you to focus on sin. And when you're focusing on sin, you are limiting who you are in Christ. This is about having a divine partnership between you as a saint and the Trinity. You're a saint. You're not a normal person. If you're normal, then you're limited who you are. God is focusing on a major challenge he sees with the body of Christ today. Religion says it's sin. God says it's separation. He wants you to know who you are, to be who you are, but more importantly, do who you are. I just came up with that. That's pretty cool. Let's read Matthew 7:7-8. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. That scripture is not just about what you need. It's what he wants to put in you. It's how he sees you. So he said, religion wants to focus. This is about a simple prayer, a simple way to pray. It is. But that's an incomplete definition. This is much more about how do I really partner? How do I really walk this out? That's what this scripture is about, and I'm going to break that down. Now, in order for this to work, there's one thing that you have to really embrace. And what I found working with people is there's never a challenge. You actually enjoy this. You want it. Anyone can guess what that is? Change. Look at all the hallelujahs. We as human beings don't like change. It's a disruption and an interruption to our daily lifestyle. Change means that you are going to do something different than the way you do it. It changes the normal rhythms of our life. Here's a little experiment I want you all to do tomorrow that will help you understand the power of change. Tomorrow morning when you're brushing your teeth, I want you to use the opposite hand. When you're doing that, think about the emotions that come over you, the frustration, the anxiety. You will get a great demonstration of how we react to change. I tried that the other morning because I was trying to practice. I deeply understood what frustration is because I'm a little bit of an analytical person. So I allowed my time X amount of seconds to brush my teeth. It took me longer than I wanted to, and it was completely different, and I didn't like it. I started rebelling against my own plan. That's change. However, you can never get to growth and maturity unless you change. That's what this scripture is helping us understand. I want to go to, and I found this when I was looking for a scripture to help define, support Matthew 7. And this scripture has been with one of the first ones that I ever embraced, I took, internalized, and I started doing. And it's Ephesians 3:16-21. And I want to read the Passion Translation. Now, as I read this, I want you to study, I want you to impart, I want you to visualize on some of the terms that this scripture points out, because this is about change. And I pray that he would unveil, whenever you see the word unveil in the New Covenant, pay attention. He would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and favor, until supernatural strength floods your innermost being with his divine might and explosive power. Then by constantly using your faith, the life of Christ will be released deep inside you. And the resting place of his love will become the very source and root of your life. Then you will be empowered to discover what every holy one experiences, the great magnitude of astonishing love of Christ in all its dimensions. How deeply intimate and far-reaching is his love. How enduring and inclusive it is. Endless love beyond measurement that transcends our understanding. The extravagant love pours into you until you are filled to overflowing with the fullness of God. Never doubt God's mighty power to work in you and accomplish all of this. He will achieve infinitely more than your greatest request, your most unbelievable dream, and exceed your wildest imagination. He will outdo them all, for his miraculous power constantly energizes you. If that scripture doesn't wake you up, then you might want to find a different place to go. This is what it means to be a saint. All that came out of that is what Jesus was trying to say in Matthew 7. One of the things I want you to really focus on is that word love, too, is what it's used in there. And until every single saint goes and memorizes 1 Corinthians 13:4-7, I'm going to keep saying this. That's the love that's being talked about here. That's agape love. And agape love actually has over 15 points to it. That's the love they're talking about. In the middle of that description, there's some of those love points we don't like. There's one they call rejoice in truth. Brushing my teeth with my wrong hand is about rejoicing the truth, and I didn't like it. Let's break down this scripture. Matthew 7, the first part. Ask, and it will be given to you. That does sound like a prayer parameter, right? That's just the surface. Here's what has to happen when he's using the term ask. Jesus is saying, in order to ask, you have to have an intimate and vulnerable relationship with him, with God, with the Holy Spirit. It has to be so deep and so vulnerable that you have, it's like you're having a conversation with who should be your best friend, your Holy Spirit. It's not about what you want in those discussions completely. It is part of it, but it's not completely. Those discussions is so the Holy Spirit can tell you what God wants from you, what God sees in you. That's the ask. It's about understanding what you want to do in direct synergy to what he wants you to do. And oh, by the way, there is a little bit of that change component that'll come through that dialogue. This is about, ask is about how you participate with the Trinity, participate in the supernatural. Matthew 7b, the second part, seek and you will find. This is not referencing you chasing or trying to find God. If you haven't heard this before, God's right next to you. All you have to do is turn, and the allos is right there. If you're seeking God, thinking you have to run to find him, what it really means is you don't want to be found on your terms. You want it how you want it versus God. Restate that. You're looking to find God in your terms, not his. That's the challenge. Because when you're seeking is a part of what we talk about, the quest. And that is taking those opportunities to experience the Trinity, to experience you as a saint, to experience you in the supernatural. And it's not always what you thought, wanted, or thought you could do. Experience is when you step into that, and God's going to give you supernatural, spiritual opportunities that you haven't had before. Any of you witnessed that before when all of a sudden God asks you to do something, and you're going like, I don't think I heard right. Can I adjust this a little bit? You don't understand how I want to do this. One of the things to learn in this part of seeking is Pastor Julie brought this up at a staff meeting one time. We were talking about it. And she came up with this term, which is absolutely applies here. And when you do it, it actually makes it much easier to go and experience the supernatural. And it's really simple to do. I wish I would have thought this. All it is immediate obedience. Yeah, we all had the sigh and the frown the same as you just did. But what happens is when you have immediate obedience is you go and walk through that. You accept that. You step into that. And you're going like, oh my, I did do that. Oh my, that was easier. Or, oh my, I didn't recognize I had to change. Or, oh my, you think I'm supposed to do that? This participation, but more importantly, this experience is what was trying to be explained in that Ephesians scripture. As you walk into those, and they're going to come at different ways, and you don't know it. You have to be open to seeing them, hearing them, feeling them, and then step into it. When you have and you participate and you experience, actually goes to the third part of that scripture. That is, knock, and it will be open to you. What Jesus is saying there is that through the participation and through the experience of who you are in Christ, of the supernatural, of who you truly are as a human being, they're going to take you to this third step, and it really is speaking about metanoia. You're going to have the chance to walk in to metanoia. So I bet you're asking, what's metanoia, right? The definition of metanoia: a transformative change of heart, especially a spiritual conversion. A change in one's way of life resulting from spiritual conversion. A fundamental change in character or outlook. God's going to lead you to an opportunity to go and step into metanoia. Metanoia is on the other side of that door that he opened for you. But that door is going to seem scary because you don't know what's on the inside of it. It goes to exactly, excuse me, thank you. It fulfills the scripture. Wide is the path to destruction. Narrow is the path to Jesus, to being a saint. Because we come from this wide opportunities, we come from this wide experience, and we walk up to this door that's narrow. That door is there for you to then go to that next step of maturity, of growth. Here's what most of us celebrate: getting to the door. We think we've had it, seen it, feel it when we get to the door. If you stand on the outside just looking at the door and all you seek is the door, then all you're really doing is having a spiritual high. We can get addicted to spiritual highs because they are phenomenal. But the real fruit is on the other side. If you notice, it's knock, and the door would be open. It didn't say the Holy Spirit's there to push you through. That's your job. That's your courage. That's your saying, I want metanoia. I want the fullness of God. God will allow you to walk in this door. And here's what will happen when you walk through that door. Your soul, your mind, will, and emotions will start telling you every reason why you aren't worthy, why you shouldn't, why you can't stay on the other side of that threshold, that door. And so most of your Christian friends. Because you step now into a completely new paradigm, a new mindset, a new gifting, a new anointing. And you become unrecognizable to them, to who you were. Here's the thing to remember when you step into that, that's prominent in the Christian world. Your confidence and boldness in Christ reveals their anxiety of who they are not in Christ to them. That's why they want to pull you back to be with them. It's human nature. It's how we operate in the human. You must apply this action step. Because when you step through that door, and here's the next thing you have to do. When you're on the other side of that door, you're going to see the vastness of what God just opened up to you in a whole nother realm, a whole nother paradigm. And you get to now a chance to participate and experience again. But the most important thing you have to do when you get to that point is turn around and shut the door, not walk back through it. When you shut the door, what you'll find is the door now disappeared and you have nowhere to go but forward. You burnt the ship. You burned the bridge. When you do that, you have now received what the Father is looking for the most from you. Irreversible identity. Irreversible identity. You are now can only see who He sees you are and not who you believe you are. And you get to repeat this. That's the great part of this. As you walk through that new realm, you're going to participate, you're going to experience, they said, and you're going to get to another new doors that you never thought was possible. And your anointing, your calling, your gifting is going to go to another level you never thought possible. And now you're an influencer to the world. Let me let you in a little bit of mystery about the new covenant. If you believe that the new covenant was all about salvation, forgiveness of sins, you missed the point of what God and Jesus set down and why they came up with this new covenant plan. The new covenant is designed for us as saints to reclaim the world for God through Jesus. Here's the part of the plan I don't understand. Jesus says, I'm only going to do it through me and my saints. That's why we go to these doors. Because now each of you have an area in the world where you're going to be the light, you're going to be the influence, and you're going to be the change. Now, there's five areas that God wants to take this scripture and partner with us. Five areas. One is spiritually. Just talked about that extensively. The second area is your soul. It's your mind and will and emotions conversion over to being Christ-like. The third one is physically. Your body's a temple that holds the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus. It has to be healthy. The fourth one is relationships. It's about your marriage, it's about your friendships, it's about your relations. The last one is financial. God wants you to be prosperous. He wants you to have freedom. Now, why are these five there that Jesus wants to know He has to touch you in? Spiritually, obviously, because that's who we are to become saints. But then He knows that from your soul to your physical body, to relationships, to finances. If any of those are a challenge, they take away from your spirituality because that becomes the focus. And now you focus that on that. If you have a pain, how many of you had a pain and all of a sudden in your body that became, well, that took a lot of my energy. It took a lot of my focus every single day. Emotionally, financially? How many of you find great joy in living in where there's not enough at the end of the month? Doesn't that bring great joy? Absolutely not. That's why we're partnering with Pastor Jim on Wealth with God. I said it before, but one of the things that Pastor Jim went through and studied over the last 3 years was how do I learn to partner with God, and then how do I apply it specifically to finances? And we're going to touch all those areas over the course of the year, obviously spiritually, but the soul is about renewing of the mind. All of those are that. And I just want to give a quick testimony about partnering, what I learned in walking through this door, a partner with God. I was given some prophetic words of what God wants me to do in the body of Christ. And I said to him, if you want me to do that, you're going to have to help me, particularly in an area of my physical body, the temple. Because I was not healthy. I was not doing well. I was really grossly overweight. And I tried everything that I can think of. And the Holy Spirit said, if you're willing to do what I tell you, we'll walk through this together. This was just about a year ago. The first couple months of that was not fun. Things were going on inside of my body that I never had, and it was painful. And I could feel my body changing like I never did before. I was in tune. I was hearing my body. It was like my liver telling me something. I'm going like, what is that? The only way I ever hear that is from Pastor Julie. She has such in tune to her, every part of her body is amazing. I go, Lord, how come my big toe hurts? Here's what happened is I just kept partnering with what the Holy Spirit told me to do. And people come up and they start noticing that I'm getting healthier. And they say, what are you doing? And I'm going like, I don't really know. I'm doing this, this, and this because I'm supposed to. Over a course of time, it just kept going on and going on. And I'm feeling almost guilty because I feel like I'm not really doing anything other than doing what the Holy Spirit tells me of when to eat, what to eat, how to eat it throughout the course of the day. Some days I would eat hardly anything, and some days my wife would say, how can you lose this weight when you're eating that much food? But me being a curious person, I said, there got to be a reason for this. And I actually went out and scientifically found out what I was doing is called intuitive eating. That's where the connection to science and spirituality comes together, is the Holy Spirit was telling me how to follow this model without knowing the model was there. Doesn't mean it works for everybody. You got to do that. But here's the result of that. It's been almost a year now, and I've lost 71 and a half pounds. This is not about Rick losing weight. This was about I was learning how to partner with God outside of spirituality, because it's more than that. The new covenant is a lifestyle, and that's why those five areas are there. Pastor Dennis, if you could come up, we're going to do our missions. Here's what I want you to do with what I talked about today. I want you to look at and seek. I want you to participate. I want you to experience the areas in your life that the Holy Spirit's saying, I'm willing to partner with you now. And brush your teeth with the wrong hand so you learn that. Follow this, and you'll walk into a whole other realm, a whole other level of spiritual maturity and who you are that you never thought was possible. I want to now turn it over to Pastor Dennis, who's going to talk about our great missions program. Pastor Dennis.
Hey, thank you, Pastor Rick. God bless you. Wow, 71 pounds. That's like four bowling balls, two bags of salt. That's a lot. That's really pretty good. Way to go. Well, we have some more business to do, and it's about missions. Every Sunday, the first Sunday of every month, we're going to bring you an update on missions, things we're doing locally, regionally, and around the world through Elevation Church. And then we're going to receive a missions offering. And all of that is going to be going towards missions throughout the whole year. And every month we'll bring you a new update, something we're doing someplace. and give you feedback for where your money and support is going. Today I'd like to share a little bit about the Christmas outreach. I know we did, Pastor Aaron did a little bit about that, but we got some new updates from Kathmandu, Nepal. I received an email this week from Paul. He's the young man. He and his wife, Buana, are the people that work in the slums and the villages and the really most difficult street areas of Kathmandu. And he sent me an email thanking us for the funds that we sent to him for the blankets, the knit caps, and the shoes. And I wanted to share that with you, and also some pictures, okay? So he says, greetings in the name of Jesus. Hello, Elevation Church. This is from halfway around the world. Isn't that great? He says, we are so grateful for your support for the street children, the slum children, the village children, and the widows that receive blankets, caps, and shoes. It was a big blessing for them. And it was a big gift. Incidentally, it was the only gift they received for Christmas. They're so poor that they don't. Christmas is just another day. But this year they got blankets, caps, and hats. He said it was a big gift for them so they could survive the winter. And we were able to reach and help more than 450 kids and over 50 widows. We are doing our best to share the word of God and to change lives through our actions and through the love of Christ. Thank you once again, Elevation Church, for your wonderful support. We appreciate a lot your genuine giving to help the helpless. We're praying for you with love and prayers, Paul and Buana. So on behalf of them, amen.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message. Be sure to visit ElevationChurchWisconsin.com for other exciting new content from Elevation Church.